Jack Jill here.
Hi there.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. It's here that we provide entertaining real estate investment advice. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting this week from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about Jill's compelling personality. It's what everybody needs. Everybody really needs kind of a Jill on their team, I guess.
Are you sure about this, Jack? I got to say, when I read this title, I'm like, uh-oh, this can go a couple different ways. Some days you think it's good, and sometimes I'm sure you want to throttle me.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me
Come on. Oh.
One day where I said, you know what? We just need a little bit less of Jill.
Well, there are days that you think that I should be a little more serious, don't you think?
And it's only when we work together.
Oh, thank you. So that's it. So there is no gray area. Okay.
Hey, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the JackJill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Jeff, you, like something else. U is the letter, first letter of his last name. Like, hey, Jeff U.
He's got a wife. She's used to saying that.
That's a whole new saying. I'm going to start that. Oh, yeah. Well, Jeff U back. That's good. I should use it on my brother. Yeah, Jeff U.
The sound of radios clicking off all over the world.
That's awesome. And Jack U and Mabel U.
Mabel.
I don't know.
You know, it works with Jill U, too.
Yeah, it does. All right. It says, hello. My name is Jeff, and I am from the Metro Detroit, Michigan area.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just starting to learn about raw land investing. Yes, you can. I'm not even wet under the ears, but I'm reading, watching videos, listening to podcasts, etc. My wife...
There is a wife.
...is not 99.9% bought onto this idea. So does that mean she's all but one little piece?
No, she's not into it yet.
Oh, okay. But right now I told her I'm just learning what to do about a non-compliant spouse.
So I had
Well, that's two different questions, isn't it? First of all, one is what do I do? And two is how do I handle a non-compliant spouse?
Like, one is my wife's not on board with this land investing thing. Right. And number two is what do I do about a non-compliant spouse?
I'd like to tackle them as separate questions.
So go ahead. I had our producers put this in here, Joe, for you.
Oh, thank you.
So what do you, I know you deal with this question a lot. Like, hey, my, I used to take calls. I don't know if you still do.
I still do. I tell, you know, like when this situation comes around and my team or I are talking to, you know, future members asking us questions, whatever, I'm like, all right. I mean, I'll even ask that. Is everybody on the same page? Because if they are not, we all know this will not work. You know, even if it's great, you just, if someone, if your team's not in there with you, they're not supporting you, it's not going to work. So, and I still say, hey, let's get them on the phone, you know. And I did one just recently the other day where they're, hey, I'm on speakerphone with my wife. I'm like, great. You know, and what I usually tell the, whoever it is, you know, let's say it's a guy and the wife, I always tell the guy, let her ask the questions, please.
And that's good.
You know, and let's tackle that. Because you already get it and understand it. So usually, it's a question of the wife is like, it's just questions that she doesn't understand it. And part of it is too, I think woman to woman, we can talk a little bit. And, you know, let's be honest, we women make different decisions. And we are often more conservative than men, right? So when a woman can talk to another woman and go, oh, okay, now we can all calm down, ask some good questions, you know, and really wrap our heads around this, you know, and when I can, you know, I just answer questions. And it's usually not about numbers. It's just kind of big picture stuff. You know, what's been my experience? What is my role? What does she need to contribute? You know, kind of thing. How much time will it take away from him and the family? You know, whatever it is. Maybe it's, he's got a day job or something that's holding her up. But
here's what I think they're really asking, regardless of gender. Because there's so much malarkey out there. Like, are you real people? And does it work?
Yeah.
Or is this just one of those education programs out there? Let's face it, there's a lot of them. There's way more failure programs out there than success ones. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure what they're asking is, Jill, you and the company, is this Does this work? If you apply yourself, can you actually succeed? Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
And they want to know, how long have you been doing this? And they ask good questions like, mm-hmm. how long have you been doing this? And I tell them, okay, how many transactions? And usually when I answer those two questions, they go, oh, okay, this is nothing new and crazy. And even just lightly explaining the whole process, then they go, all right, I guess it does make sense.
What if they ask you something like, my husband's got an old Chevy in the garage, and he thought he was going to finish that, and he's not going to finish this. Why is he going to finish this and not the Chevy?
You know, it's funny. Fortunately, I've not been asked that question. And so I'm sure that those questions do go on after they hang up the phone. Seriously. Because I can just sense it, you know, because which is true. Once they talk to me and they realize, okay, this is something, this could be a good thing, they hang up the phone. And I'm sure the next question is, will you stick to it? You know, and well, you know what? And I answer too soon, because sometimes that is part of their questions to help the husband stick to it. They do ask what kind of support we have, and we do have offer a lot of support.
We have crazy support here.
And that's, I think, one of the differences in why our people in our world, our members are so successful, because we're right here. You know, we're on the show. We have our weekly member call. You know, they can do consulting with us. We have our online community.
Their online community is, I've never seen anything like that.
I know.
I mean, I intentionally developed a full-blown online community so we can all help each other.
I know, and I'd like to take credit for that.
Oh, my God.
No, you developed it, but it was... Just kidding.
Jill went on vacation.
You created it.
Literally went on vacation.
I said, We need something.
And I sat and did it.
Yep.
From start to finish. I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit.
I have a handful of members that want to communicate. We got to make this happen. And he said, all right. And you did. It was in a weekend, and it was awesome.
If you go to jackjill.com and hit and click on
community,
it takes you there.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So now that covers that. What about a non-compliant spouse, Jack? What would you do? You've been married. Yeah. Haven't you had a non-compliant spouse before?
I have.
How did you solve that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think what goes on, I'm actually writing a book about this, about helping young men get over or get into or be successful, whatever. And I think that men try to emulate, they either emulate the environment they grew up in, or they do it 180 and say, geez, I don't want that. And then and they both fail. Because you have a lot less control in any relationship than you really think. And the best thing you can do is just roll with it. You know, there's no such thing as compliance or non-compliant spouses. We laugh about this a lot on the show, as we should. Mm-hmm. In a lighthearted way, kind of say, oh, yeah, that kind of happens all the time. But the fact is, you just don't have too much control over all this stuff with people. Don't you think? You're pondering.
I am. I'm not sure I buy that. I just don't know.
You're either all together when you meet, and then you can plus or minus. It's like kids, you know? They come out the way they are.
You know what I think?
Plus or minus 5%, they're going to change, but that's about it.
Okay, so here's what I think. If you have a quote-unquote non-compliant spouse, I think that you have not either A, you don't have the same goals.
That's what I mean.
And you need to take a step back and figure that out.
Well said.
And then B, you haven't properly conveyed whatever it is you're trying to do. You know, because say this person, Jeff and his wife, their goals are, hey, baby, we're going to have $1 million in the bank by the time we're 40. Let's just say whatever it is. Okay, and she signed off on it. So now he needs to properly, and if she's not getting this, he needs to sit down with her and go, hey, I've done the math. Mm-hmm. And I can do a property a month or a week or whatever it is. And I figured out in 24 months, we will be here. And you know what? It's pretty hard. And if you've really spent some time on it and you haven't done the math and it's a reasonable, you know, it's not, I'm going to flip two of them for $500,000 each. You know, let's be honest. But you say, hey, look, I could buy them for $1,000, sell them for $2,000, then make it to $4,000, then make it to $8,000. If you sit down with your wife and show that, then it's kind of hard to go, It's hard to argue with that. And then that solves a problem.
People join our group because they really want to succeed financially. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that there's any other reason that you would join our group. If there is, it's, you know, you should just go get some friends.
You have a lot of spare time. Yeah.
So, I mean, and you got to be pretty motivated to spend some money and make the time commitment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you don't have a spouse that's like, oh, whatever, then that's a big problem.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge separation. I would say probably a bigger problem than this.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point. Well, then again, you don't have the same goals, so that's a bigger problem.
We're saying the same thing.
So, thank you.
Once again, well, it's not that usual that we say
that's
the same
true,
thing.
That's true, because I'm pretty compliant.
Okay, well, that's the joke of the century.
Oh, no. All right, move on.
Move on. Yeah. Oh, how's that for compliance?
Right.
Hey, move on.
Next topic. That's for you.
It's an inside joke.
Yep.
Today's topic, Jill's compelling personality, which we kind of just went through.
Thank you.
This is the meat of the show.
Uh-oh.
I'm watching a movie on Netflix a few days ago when I was writing the topic here about Jim Carrey and his whole take on Andy Richter. So apparently, Jim Carrey tries to emulate Andy Richter as a comedian.
Here I come to save the day.
What's that?
Didn't he do that? Didn't Andy Richter do that little thing, Mighty Mouse thing?
I don't know.
Do you ever saw Andy Richter? Wasn't he the Saturday Night Live guy that talked really? And then he was on
Taxi.
Yes.
And did Latka.
That's him.
Well, he
used to do that. He used to do that. Here I come to save the day. The Mighty Mouse thing. You never saw that skit?
I never saw the Mighty Mouse skit. I just remember him from. Well, I watched the whole thing. I apparently did a lot of other stuff.
He would be him and in his character, and he was like lip syncing to this little Mighty Mouse song on a little album, a little phonograph, whatever.
So what? The thick of it is this.
Yeah.
What Jim Carrey said was, whoever you are in life, whether you're an accountant or whatever you are, I mean, I don't care if you're a fireman or a fire person or whatever, however you say that these days.
Yeah, what's politically correct?
You got to show up for that and kind of create that persona. He said most people never even know about it, and the ones who do don't implement it. But you have to become, you know, you and I do it, Jill, and I think that's one of the reasons. It's Jill's compelling personality. It's one of the reasons we do so well buying and selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create a personality. You can't just walk around kind of like, did you ever watch an interview with a comedian or maybe like a sitcom star? I saw an interview with Kelsey Grammer one time, and he's just sitting there like with his head hanging, having the interview. And I'm like, well, where's Frasier? Or where's the mm-hmm. character that he plays? And so that's what I think Jim Carrey was saying, you know. You can't be on all the time, certainly, but if you're going to show up for a meeting or if you're going to show up on the phone with somebody who wants to buy a piece of real estate, create a kind of persona that's interesting and fun. And, you know, maybe your kids don't know that person, but the person who's buying and selling or being a business owner or being an accountant,
mm-hmm.
that should put some effort into that. I really think that it's important.
Well,
You know what, Joe? Mm-hmm. I learned that from you.
Thank you.
Before I met you, I did a version of it, I think subconsciously, but until I met you, because I know that's just naturally how you are. I think a lot of salespeople know this. Career salespeople know that you can't just sit there and say, and the product is really useful.
Hmm.
You know, you really have to show up.
Exactly. Well, so, but it's not fake.
No, I know.
No, that's the thing about sometimes when
it's
you,
enhancing your own
sometimes when you say you salespeople, it sounds
no,
like
no.
you accountants.
You have to be enthusiastic.
You know what I mean? But so it's not like it's not a negative thing, and it shouldn't be a fake thing. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm walking around faking it all the time, because I'm not. This is actually how I am.
I agree.
Which is a little bit nutty to Jack at times, but so I was going to say I have. I've coached people about this and about
excellent
being you know, because they're on the phone and they're like, okay, I want to be an investor. I'm like, well, then start calling yourself an investor. You know, the minute you put a dollar into something, you know, you're investing in it. Let's start acting like it. Put that hat
start
on.
Start acting like it.
You are an investor, you know. And then when these people start calling you back, never mind, you haven't really closed your first transaction yet. You're doing it. You are an investor.
That's exactly what I mean.
So you have to. Yeah, walk the, what's the right term? Walk
the walk, talk the talk.
Okay, that's it. So
there's a lot of different cliches that refer to it, but my point is,
mm-hmm.
be the person that you think that they need you to be. That's what it comes down to. And I'm not saying being a chameleon. I'm not saying, you know, an altruistic, go be everything to everyone. I'm just saying, when somebody wants to buy a piece of real estate and you're on the phone with them, or more importantly, or appropriately for us, when you're on the phone, you send a bunch of letters out, and you're on the phone speaking with people who want to sell their real estate to you, what are their concerns? Meet that person from where they're coming. So they want to know they're going to get paid. They want to know it's going to be a smooth transaction. They want to know you're not a crook.
Mm-hmm.
And they want it to be relatively speedy, professional, and They want to know it's real.
You're a stand-up person.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. Exactly.
So I've heard you almost a million times on the phone with sellers. And you just naturally do it. And I think that it's way more special and unusual than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
It's Jill's compelling personality.
Thank you. The point, I think the point here is, once you put that hat on and go, you know what, you're right, I am that person, then you really start to believe it, feel it, act it, and it all comes natural. You know, it's not like it shouldn't be that difficult. So, you know, say you want to be a comedian, but you're really not that funny, you know, there might be some things that are a stretch, and you have to realize that. However, you know, we all know those people that overcome some crazy things, and maybe they do become a comedian. They grow up, you know, in a boring household, and they're always, you know, walk around mopey, and maybe that's their gig. Maybe they use it to their advantage, you know. We know those, oh, who's that guy? You know, there was always that comedian, and you know, that would talk like, oh, yeah. You know, he did talk like that.
Stephen Wright.
Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, curly hair. He kind of looked like you.
Yeah, here's a joke.
He had curly dark hair.
My favorite joke.
Yeah.
He said, "I have all the erasers for all the golf course pencils."
Oh.
I don't know why I thought I was retaining that.
That's really good. I like that. Yep, there you go.
I went and saw him live a long time ago.
Well, that's cool. Where was that?
It was in Detroit. That's how long ago it was.
Oh, wow.
A
long time ago.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 30 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss why you should add houses to your land business. Maybe not the other way around, but we'll talk about it.
And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on jackjill.com, our online community.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
So it was funny when I read the title. I wasn't sure what direction you wanted to go with this. I'm like, is he going to share some annoying personality traits? Because let's face it, we all have them.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You want to talk about your annoying personality traits? We can do that.
No, that's good. No, we don't need to. What is my worst? I would love to know. What if you had to pick? What's one of my worst annoying personality traits?
Okay. And it's timely. and it's hard to even say it out loud because it's not negative.
It's the end of the year coming up. I'm happy to embrace this, and I'm going to work on it.
I'm going to say this, and then everybody listening is going to say, if that's the biggest problem you can come up with your significant other on this planet, you know, you need to just shut up.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to say this and run.
You can be over-enthusiastic about stuff that is just incredibly trivial.
I do
For
get
instance,
excited.
Christmas.
I do get excited.
You're right. Now everybody's throwing stuff at the radio because they're like, Jack.
I do get excited.
Please, it's going to be okay.
Yes, we have this, I can see it now. There's times when you're standing in front of me and you're like doing with your arms up, pushing something down, like, calm
like,
down.
Yeah.
I'm like, but this is fun. Calm down.
Jill and I recently went to go drive exotic Italian sports cars at a dealership. Mm-hmm. And she had her checkbook out, and I was the voice of reason and said, this is maybe the silliest thing. I mean, I agreed to it because it's just fun.
I know.
So you just get over
that. Was fun.
So it's not critical.
Way to go to Beverly Hills to do it. That was hilarious.
And I'm not criticizing you at all. I love that about you. I love this thing about you. But at times, it's just like, oh my gosh, take the 15-year-old out of the Ferrari.
Oh, it's hard to do. Oh.
You know, I partially think
but
that you do it.
You can't take the Ferrari. Wait, how is it?
I think that you do it because you know I am going to step in a little bit. Or would you have bought that car? Let me ask you that.
I would have.
You would have bought that car?
No, actually, no, I would not have bought that car. That particular car, because it was missing a few bells and whistles that I wanted, so I would not have bought that car. A similar car. But
looked like you're going to buy it to me.
No, I would not have bought that car. So, thank you, though. But it was fun to go check it out. You know what I was hoping? I was hoping I was going to go drive it and hate it. That was the whole point. I was hoping to drive it and go, this is ridiculous. I look stupid.
You don't look stupid in an Italian
sports
car.
Okay, thank you.
That's not possible.
I look, you know, like, I don't know. I can't handle it. And it's like going to be too loud. It just doesn't make sense.
I honestly thought
it's going to be uncomfortable.
That's what I thought too.
The trunk is going to be a joke. But all the boxes.
You seem to get over all those things.
I went, this is not like I thought. I was really pleasantly surprised. I can fit more than my purse in a trunk. In this trunk, I was happy. So
you
I
know, it's
fit one
all those
suitcase.
Cars are two-seaters, which is huge.
I really like that.
Me too.
That's important.
Two people, not five.
Exactly.
Or three. Share the fun by describing, subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.